The following program, The Russ Belleville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belleville Show are their own, and The Russ Belleville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you. You had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belleville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome to the show. We made it to the weekend. It's Friday, February 21st, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. We got a fantastic show for you today. We've got a special guest who's going to be joining us in studio here at the bottom of the hour, Anthony Johnson from the Oregon Cannabis Industries Association, as well as New Approach Oregon, will be our guest for two segments at the bottom of the hour. We're going to talk to him first about the Oregon Cannabis Industry Association. They're putting on a shindig this weekend, so we'll talk all about that and what the prospects are for marijuana business moving forward here in Oregon, at least on the medical side. And then in the second segment, we will talk to him in his role of New Approach Oregon and our opportunities to legalize marijuana here in the state of Oregon. How's that going? We're going to find out today when we talk in our activist agenda to Anthony Johnson. Also on today's show, there's a great piece in the Marijuana Business Daily. We're going to use it for our Behind the Headlines segment today, a compare and contrast of Colorado marijuana legalization versus Washington marijuana legalization. Guess who's winning? You probably don't need me to tell you. Also on today's show, it's Rockin' Friday, so Herb Thrasher will be calling in, and he's got some great video that was recorded at last year's Portland Hemp Stock from the Syndicate. We're going to play that for Rockin' Friday today, and also talk about tonight's Herb Thrasher Flower Hour coming up at 8 p.m. Pacific time. But first, we'll start things off with the 420 radio news. And we got a lot of news in the headlines today. Huge news from the Epilepsy Foundation of America. We've got legalization moving forward in South Africa. A study out of University of Colorado Denver on the impact of dispensaries on neighborhoods. A very enterprising Girl Scout in San Francisco, California. A look at the troubles to trying to get Maryland's medical marijuana program off the ground. And the latest news from the banks on their opinion of the Obama administration's guidelines for doing business with marijuana businesses. So all of that is coming up next on The Russ Belleville Show. Help support us here on 420 Radio if you can. Join us at 420radio.org. You can become a VIP member for as low as $9.99 a month. You get access to our Hour 2 archives, our music archives, and discounts on all our promotional materials and some free downloads from time to time. Check it out, 420 Radio VIP members.
You smoke trees till you get what you need now.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belleville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the best way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com. 420 Radio is 24-hour marijuana legalization radio. Cannabis Outreach Collective is an alternative health and wellness option located in Gladstone, Oregon, that serves patients in the Portland area and beyond. We are a full-service alternative health and wellness collective accommodating patients with natural, organic, holistic, and homeopathic remedies, nutritional guidance, advice, education, and medical cannabis, fully in accordance with Oregon OMMP law. You can find out more about Cannabis Outreach Collective on Facebook at COC503 or by emailing cannabisoutreachcollective503@gmail.com. or by telephone at 503-853-1319. Check out our menu on Weed Maps and visit Cannabis Outreach Collective today. This is your 420 Radio News for Friday, February 21st, 2014, brought to you by the National Cannabis Coalition. I'm Russ Belville. The nation's largest organization of doctors specializing in epilepsy is calling for, quote, safe legal access to medical marijuana, end quote. In a press release, the Epilepsy Foundation, quote, calls for an end to Drug Enforcement Administration restrictions that limit clinical trials and research into medical marijuana for epilepsy, end quote. The organization calls on the DEA to, quote, implement a lesser schedule for marijuana, end quote, and notes the families of epileptic children who've moved to gain access to high CBD medical marijuana in Colorado by stating, quote, an end to seizures should not be determined by one's zip code, end quote. The Epilepsy Foundation isn't singling out just high CBD strains. They support, quote, research on multiple forms of cannabis and seizures, end quote. Even Dr. Oren Davinsky, who co-authored a New York Times op-ed just last Wednesday entitled "We Need Proof on Marijuana," is urging parents of epileptic kids to wait on FDA trials before emigrating to Colorado, now says, quote, "As a doctor, I would gladly prescribe marijuana products for many of my patients who failed existing therapies if it were legal in my state," end quote. A South African member of parliament has introduced a bill to legalize cannabis, or DACA, as it is known there. Mario G.R. Oriani Ambrosini from the Inkatha Freedom Party submitted the medical innovation bill on Wednesday. The MP was diagnosed with inoperable stage 4 lung cancer last year, and his bill would establish programs at research hospitals to study cannabis for possible cancer treatments and allow doctors to prescribe cannabis to South African patients. The bill also legalizes the medical, industrial, and commercial use of DACA in South Africa in accordance with emerging world standards. A new study from the University of Colorado Denver finds that a dispensary impacts a neighborhood no more so than a coffee shop or a drugstore. The lead researcher, Paul Stretzky, initially believed the data would show a negative impact on neighborhoods, such as higher crime and vandalism, and neighbors would resent the presence of the dispensaries. But after controlling for the fact that dispensaries are required to be in commercial zones that naturally attract more crime, they found that not only did law enforcement scaremongering about dispensaries turn out to be false, the neighbors themselves didn't find anything untoward about having a dispensary storefront nearby. Perhaps now that line, "there are more dispensaries than Starbucks," will have to be retired, since it seems dispensaries are about equal to a Starbucks in neighborhood impact. A Girl Scout in San Francisco is latest proof of the business maxim, location, 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 through her cookie sales outside a San Francisco dispensary. Danielle Lee, age 13, asked the owners of the Green Cross dispensary if she could set up a table outside their entrance. They agreed, and within 2 hours, the girl had sold 117 boxes of Girl Scout cookies. Her mother told reporters that she had only sold 80 boxes during a similar two-hour sale out front of a Safeway grocery store. Dana Allen, communications director for the Girl Scouts of Northern California's office, said the organization has no qualms about Lee's choice of sales location, saying, quote, "Girls are selling cookies, and they and their parents pick out places where they can make good sales. We're not telling people where they can and can't go if it's a legitimate business," end quote. While the Girl Scouts in Medical California seem fine with it, the Girl Scouts in Legal Colorado don't, tweeting, quote, "If you are wondering, we don't allow our Girl Scouts to sell cookies in front of marijuana shops or liquor stores and bars." Maryland is still at least 2 years away from even beginning the limited medical marijuana program approved by the legislature last year. The program only authorizes the study of medical marijuana at up to 5 research hospitals, and so far, those hospitals are reluctant to participate, citing federal grants that could be endangered if they permit marijuana use. Dr. Paul W. Davies, a pain relief specialist who heads the Medical Marijuana Commission, told lawmakers in Annapolis that even under the best case scenario, it would take 18 to 24 months for a program to be set up and a grower to provide cannabis to a research hospital. Despite assurances and guidelines from the Obama administration, banking organizations are saying their institutions still aren't likely to offer services to marijuana businesses. The senior vice president of the Colorado Bankers Association and the president of the Washington Bankers Association had little confidence the memos would make much difference. This has been your 420 Radio News for Friday, February 21st, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available exclusively at the National Cannabis Coalition. Visit ncc420.com to download today. When we come back, we'll go behind the headlines and take a look at Marijuana Business Daily comparison of Colorado legalization versus Washington legalization. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you don't just want any attorney. You want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Lauren Vasquez knows the details of California marijuana law from both a personal and professional angle. Lauren Vasquez rose from the ranks of college normal activist to become one of the Bay Area's best marijuana lawyers. Visit her website, firedublawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your Fired Up Lawyer, or email firedublawyer@gmail.com. The number again is 855-MMJ-LAWS, 855-665-5297 for your Fired Up Lawyer, Lauren Vasquez. Lauren Vasquez is an activist attorney you can trust. Call today. Let him bring in the beat. Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, The Russ Belville Show, Ganja John, and Cascadia Concentrates, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Adam's meticulous designs are individually crafted and screened in vibrant high-definition color. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org. Medical Marijuana Radio with Larry Love from Santa Fe, New Mexico, every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern, and 3 p.m. GMT, right here on 420radio.org.
Welcome back, everybody. 15 after the hour, and time for us to go behind the headlines on the Marijuana Business Daily, formerly known as the Medical Marijuana Business Daily, and that kind of gives you some idea how things are changing so rapidly here. In their Week in Review column, they write, Colorado trumps Washington on recreational cannabis for now. And this is kind of a compare and contrast that they do. And this is a really good overview for people that maybe are late to the game and don't understand what's gone on so far. But they write that Colorado is the clear choice at this point from a business perspective. And they go on to list a lot of the mistakes that the state of Washington has made in its rollout of its marijuana program. And the first one is mentioning just recently, I think it was this week actually, the Washington State Liquor Control Board decided to reduce the number of cultivation licenses a business can apply for and cut by 30% how much they can grow. And the reason they're doing this, and they also set limits on how many stores there would be as well. And part of what this is all about is because Washington State brought in as its consultant to help them organize, you know, how the regulations are going to be laid out, Mark Kleiman. Now, Mark Kleiman is a public policy professor from UCLA who's written numerous times how marijuana can't be legalized until the feds change it. It's just all just never going to work. So here's a guy, he comes into it with that frame of mind. And then he also comes into it with the frame of mind of we can't let marijuana businesses get too big because they'll prey on addicts. The, you know, in order to stay in business, they'll have to have the smoke everyday zonkers, I think was what he wrote one time, calling us zonkers, actually. They'll have to have all these super potheads in order for them to stay in business. So every move he made and every recommendation he made had to do with trying to keep the size of Washington's market small. So they set limits on how many stores there could be. Now they're setting limits on how much cultivation they could be. They had 2,858 people sign up for producer licenses there in Washington State. Each one had to submit a $250 non-refundable application fee. That's $714,500 that the state of Washington just made on people that they promised, all right, you can apply for up to three licenses. They can be 2,000, 10,000, or 30,000 feet. You know, square feet for your canopy. And then they said, oh gosh, too many people applied. So now you only get 70% of that and you only get one license. Can you imagine if you're the guy who put together the business plan and got the investors banking on three 30,000 square foot grows and now you get one 21,000 foot grow? And this is pretty late in the game to be pulling that kind of stuff. So a lot of people are really mad and Marijuana Business Daily notes that. But they also bring up this point. This is new to me. I'll just read to you from it. Sales tax estimates released this week by a state agency projected that actual recreational marijuana sales might not begin until June of 2015, a full year later than anticipated at this point. Now, that's the worst case scenario, but the fact that they're even floating that notion that it might be until June of 2015, hell, we'll be buying and selling legal marijuana in Alaska and Oregon before Washington State's got their legal sales up. So the demand estimates that they made, they're, you know, Botech, you know, Mark Kleiman came in and said, oh, there'll be this much marijuana that's going to be needed, appear completely off base now that they've looked at Colorado and seen what's going on there. And of course, they're abandoning medical marijuana. They went and put this system together. They didn't bring in people from the medical marijuana industries, the patients. They didn't have any buy-in on this. And of course, now we've got this huge bifurcation of medical marijuana people who are pissed off about legalization. Colorado, on the other hand, they note, did just about everything the opposite of that. Just about everything opposite. They don't have a limit on how much cultivation it can be. Don't have a limit on how many stores they can be. Now, there are local bans. They can ban them in Colorado Springs and all these places. But within zoning of the cities that allow them, there can be as many as they want. And now their governor is coming out and saying it's going to be $1 billion a year industry. They're going to be bringing $150 million or so in tax revenue every year. If anything, at least the legalization of marijuana in these two states are providing us the how to and how not to in legalization. And it's my hope that as we legalize in more states, in Oregon and Alaska, that we follow more from Colorado's example and add better, you know, examples of our own. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later in the show. And that pressure of all these successfully operating states bringing in millions in revenue and not suffering harms will be the pressure necessary to get the Washington program fixed, to get these legislators in Washington working on these problems and solving them for everybody, patients and recreational. All right, it's time for us to take a break. It's 20 after here in the Pacific time zone, and every other time zone except for like three in the world that are on the 45s and the 30s or so. So anyway, we'll be right back.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At TGAGenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grow. Check out our genetic diversity at TGAGenetics.com, the home of Jelly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word RUSS to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's RUSS to 420-420. You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
Harmless. That's what everybody says these days. It's fun. It's recreational. Some even call it medicine. But every year, millions of young people find out that marijuana is extremely dangerous. Every year, they find out that it's deadly. Marijuana smoke is lethal and toxic. Don't believe anything you've ever heard positive about smoking marijuana. It will kill you. Really. It's really gonna kill you. Don't smoke it. It will really, really kill you. Seriously. It's gonna kill you.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Rockin' Friday, featuring rock, metal, and the hard edge of alternative country. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
Oh yeah, we've made it to the weekend. Good time for a weekend. I tell you, I've been working hard, and nobody works harder out there bringing you the metal and marijuana than my man Herb Thrasher. How you doing, Herb?
Oh man, we're doing great. Beautiful day here in Portland, Oregon. Not used to the sun, and here we are. We've got a beautiful spring-like day, and I know the east is getting clobbered right now with tornado-like winds and stuff, the south. And so you guys hang in there, and, you know, good times, man. What's up?
Hey, nothing, man. We're just looking forward to tonight. I've got we have got five different strains from the Brightside PDX dispensary. So I'm thinking tonight on the Herb Thrasher Show, we are going to have ourselves a smoke and tell.
Oh, man, that sounds great. I think that's a great place to do something like that. And I figure we'll have a great couple people hanging out with us to do it. So, yep, you guys tune in tonight. We're also going to play some rock, man. There's some great Viking metal out there. And I've been listening to this album from Grand Magus for a while now. And I decided to go ahead and let's look at this album a little bit. And as I was thinking about it, I got to thinking, well, man, did Vikings smoke weed? And so I've looked into this a little bit, and I've got a couple of different answers to go over. So we'll talk about Vikings and weed smoking and see what some of their metal's all about. And then we got some other brand new tunes from some great bands out there as well. So you guys tune in tonight at 8 o'clock for the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour right here on 420radio.org. And me and myself and Radical Russell, have a great time.
Right on.
All right, speaking of rock, we got some rock for you guys right now for Rockin' Friday, and that is the Syndicate. And these guys are out of Vancouver, Washington. And they have a unique sound that combines sultry seductiveness with hard-edged rock, soothing it out with reggae-type passion. And so these guys definitely have a whole virtue of sounds, and they've mixed it into one. This tune right here is a cover from Sublime, and it's called Bad Fish, and you guys have definitely heard it. But it's a real good indication of this band's sound. And they've been around for it since 2005. And the cool thing about them the past few years is they've been winning competitions, and that's how they got to play on the Hempstock stage for 2 years, 2011 and 2013, as they won the band contest on Facebook, and they've also won their way onto the Seattle Hemp Fest stage for 2012 and 13, and looking forward to 2014 possibly as well. So they're definitely in the hemp community, and well-versed in a lot of the hemp festivals and just a lot of our cause. So this is the Syndicate. You guys definitely go check them out on Facebook. And the Sin part is S-I-N, not S-Y-N, the Syndicate. And they're on Facebook, and they have a website, and they've got all kinds of stuff. They just finished a tour, and they're about to start writing stuff for a new album. So this is the Syndicate, and this is Bad Fish, and we'll see you guys tonight at 8 p.m. right here on 420radio.org. Turn it up, folks. Have a safe weekend.
One more time, we're the Syndicate from Vancouver, Washington. We love every single one of you. We love marijuana. We love this festival. And we love Sublime.
When you grab a hold of me, tell me that I'll never be set free. I'm a pair. Slip into the night. 2 pints of booze. Tell me, are you a bad fish too? Are you a bad fish too? But ain't got no money to spare. I wish this night would never end.
Is that? It looks magical.
Baby, you're on big blue whale.
Really?
Grab the reef when all duck diving fails. I swim, but I wish I never left.
Thank you.
What is too polluted returns? Dive deep when it's 10 feet. Grab the reef underneath my bed, underneath my pepper. We got no coast guard, we got no time to grow. Lord knows I'm weak. Won't somebody get me off this reef?
Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word RUSS to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's Russ to 420-420. You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
New Approach Oregon is a coalition of Oregon citizens who believe that treating marijuana use as a crime has failed, costing taxpayers millions in law enforcement resources. We believe it's time for a new approach on marijuana, and that Oregonians deserve a chance to decide in the 2014 general election. Our approach will regulate, tax, and legalize marijuana for adults in Oregon. By implementing a strict system to regulate, tax, and legalize marijuana, we can move Oregon forward and create new revenue for critical services. Under our approach for 2014, 40% of funds would support K-12 education, 20% would support mental health and treatment services, and 15% would be dedicated to law enforcement. Public opinion, coupled with victories in Washington and Colorado, confirms marijuana legalization is inevitable. Visit our website at newapproachoregon.com or our page on Facebook at New Approach Oregon. Thank you. Cannabis Network Radio with David Kowalski from Tampa, Florida, every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern, and 4 p.m. GMT, right here on 420radio.org.
Activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is 31 after the hour, and joining us here live in studio, we have got Anthony Johnson, a longtime activist here in Oregon who wears many hats. For this segment, he's the director, Oregon Cannabis Industries Association, correct?
That works, yep.
All right, OCIA. And first thing I wanted to find out is, you know, we have so many of these associations that are out there. Is this a function of the National Cannabis Industries Association?
We are not an official affiliate of the National Cannabis Industry Association. We do keep in communication with them and work collaboratively with them. Mm-hmm. And we're a member of the NCIA, and we asked their permission if it was okay to use this name, and they gave us permission. So we worked collaboratively. They work primarily on the national level on a bunch of issues that no activists are against, right? So, mm-hmm. And at the local level, at the state level, you could have competing legalization measures or competing ideas about regulation, and NCIA really wants to stay out of those issues for the moment and keep nationally, but we work collaboratively with them and have a good relationship with them.
Okay, so Oregon Cannabis Industries Association right now would be focused on the medical industry, since we've just gotten that legalized through the House Bill 3460, and now we've got some fights in the legislature going on about whether or not these things, these dispensaries that will go online March 3rd, whether they can be banned or not. So what's the latest from OCIA on fighting these things, and what's the outcome that you see coming forth?
So we believe that localities should not be able to ban medical marijuana facilities outright. Mm-hmm. The law as it states, in my opinion, is that localities can implement reasonable time, place, and manner regulations upon the operations of any business within their community, let alone medical marijuana facilities. This has come down in, say, Supreme Court cases about free speech. Free speech is protected under the United States Constitution, but the Supreme Court has allowed localities to regulate them for time, place, and manner. So we think those same issues are pertinent for local community. So if Medford or Albany or Phoenix or Kaiser doesn't want to have 24-hour dispensaries, that's probably a reasonable accommodation to make. But if they just want to say, oh, you can only be open for 4 hours during this time, well, that's not reasonable. And so reasonable accommodations, we think, are pertinent. And we think that's the law, as if there is no additional law passed, that's how the courts would settle it. In the legislature, the Association of Oregon Counties, League of Oregon Cities, some law enforcement agencies have been pushing legislation that would allow localities to outright ban medical marijuana facilities. Mm-hmm. OCIA, other organizations, ACLU of Oregon, Compassion Oregon testified vehemently against these regulations. And because of the work of these activists, the Senate Bill 1531 was amended to just state that localities could regulate for time, place, and manner, and stripped out the language about prohibition,
right,
and banning them outright. That passed unanimously in the Senate and is now before the House. And now we are working diligently to keep out that bad language that our opponents are now trying to reinsert in a bill that I think we can live with now.
Yeah, why? I'm wondering, you know, what is the difference going on in the Oregon House when the Senate sees this thing? They introduce it with the ban. The ban gets stripped out, and they go, "Yeah, all right, unanimous. They're cool with it." What's the big difference in the House as far as why they think they can pull this in?
That's a good question, but it's really because our opponents, law enforcement, Association of Oregon Counties, and League of Oregon Cities are really organized. And so they have a few legislators willing to go to bat for them, but we just combat and become just as organized.
Mm-hmm. How much is the existence of what are pseudo dispensaries already, especially in Portland, but I know in other cities, how much is that affecting these talks, and how much will these existing outlets be brought into this new regulated system?
The existing facilities are both good and bad, to be honest with you. I think overall they're a plus. Overall, it's been demonstrated they don't attract crime. They're good neighbors. They're doing the right things. As always, there are a few bad actors and bad apples that can spoil the whole cart, so to speak. And these bad actors, our opponents spotlight to anecdotally use against us. However, we have the statistics on our side about crime, teen use, highway fatalities, safety in the workplace that exists in Oregon and all medical marijuana states. So we have the facts on our side. And I think by and large, they're a plus. They've been operating for years and there haven't been huge issues surrounding them. But at the same time, sometimes law enforcement have toured them and said that they see a bunch of young kids in there and the packaging is marketed towards kids and things like that. So there are, you know, good neighbor policies we need to implement on our own, because out of control marijuana, you know, out in the open sales, being loud, not being respectful of your neighborhood, isn't going to help anybody. We need to be respectful of our neighborhoods and communities. You need to understand what may be okay on Hawthorne in Portland is not okay in downtown Medford, things like that. Just be cognizant of those. But I think all in all, they've been a plus. And after the licenses start being issued on March 3rd, I think most of these places are going to come under the fold as far as regulation goes. Places that can operate, it'll be interesting to see how they are able to adapt. If you're within 1,000 feet of a school or you're within 1,000 feet of another facility, do you try to move to another location? Do you adapt your business practice, become a smoking lounge for patients, for instance, now that on-site medication is not going to be allowed at licensed medical marijuana facilities? So there's definitely going to be some flexibility and good business sense that the facilities are going to have to operate under when licenses start.
Yeah, you mentioned the smoking lounges. We know of a few of them in this area, and they're throughout the state, I'm sure. Are there regulations being drawn up? I know in Washington State, the Liquor Control Board is basically trying to shut Frankie's down in Olympia. Are they trying to shut down the possibility of smoking clubs, and does OCIA support the idea of smoking clubs, especially when opponents will say, you know, with pot smoking, there's not so much of the driving risk because people smoke pot at home. But if we give them a place to drive to, maybe the risk goes up. I mean, how does OCIA feel about that?
So we believe in, you know, flexibility for the industry, so long as it's not proven that there's an issue. And there have been smoking lounges operating for a long time in Portland and Oregon across the state, and we have not seen the rise in DUIs, traffic fatalities. So at this time, we support the flexibility of allowing on-site use if it fits your neighborhood and fits your rules and regulations. I was one of the most vocal advocates on the House Rules Advisory Committee, hoping that the Oregon Health Authority would allow licensed facilities to have on-site use. That's because some patients aren't allowed to use at home because they're in Section 8 housing. Mm-hmm. And we need to always think about the most vulnerable, sickest, poorest among us. And those people don't have a lobbying organization or trade association for them. And so I did my best to speak up for them. And the Oregon Health Authority very much comes from a pharmaceutical pharmacist point of view. Mm-hmm. And, you know, nobody's necessarily, popping pills or shooting up their insulin in the pharmacy, but they can. There's no rule or law against that.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I argued, so if a patient's about to have a seizure and there's a glycerin tincture that could prevent that from happening, you really expect the dispensary owner to allow them to have that seizure.
Yeah.
There was somewhat of a compromise where they're allowing employees who are patients to use in a room by themselves. So I try to get them to compromise further and to allow patients who really need to use because of Section 8 housing or their physical ailment to allow them to use in private. But that was just one battle I could not quite pull off.
Yeah. Is there anything preventing a smoking lounge from being near a dispensary?
There is not. And the representative from the Oregon Health Authority, Tom Burns, that chaired the Rules Advisory Committee proceedings, openly stated that if a medical marijuana facility wanted to have a smoking lounge next door, the Oregon Health Authority would not be opposed to that.
Oh, well, see, we may have that simple solution coming up. Kind of like, I see all these lotto places that are delis, right? we make those compromises in Oregon. All right, before I forget, let's talk about the event you've got coming up this weekend. What's happening?
So tomorrow at Occidental Brewing Company at 6635 North Baltimore, we are putting on Oregon Marijuana Business Law 101 seminar. I think we put together a great lineup of attorneys who primarily are from outside of the marijuana industry. We have employment lawyers, tax lawyers, real estate attorneys, business attorneys, bringing their knowledge to the cannabis industry to really plan out your business. I think one mistake that people think about when they are thinking about entering the cannabis industry, they forget that there are other laws other than just the marijuana law. There's other laws in House Bill 3460. There's employment laws. There's workman's compensation laws. There's federal tax laws to deal with. And so it's very important to be cognizant of all these other issues. We're also bringing in Congressman Earl Blumenauer to talk about federal reforms.
Good.
And Tom Burns from the Oregon Health Authority is going to be there as well to answer questions about the application process. And on the criminal law front, Amy Margolis, who's on the Rules Advisory Committee, along with myself, she will be speaking as well. And I'm happy to announce we'll be giving a Lifetime Achievement Award to Leland Berger for his work.
Yeah, show that off there.
And
our good buddy Leland Berger out there.
Audience will get the first sneak peek of Leland's Lifetime Achievement Award. Leland gave me my first job out of law school, so I'll always be appreciative of that. And I know firsthand, he's someone who has worked pro bono, worked for discounted rates, volunteered his time for the cause. And he also helped demonstrate where the movement has taken us, where he's primarily been a criminal defense attorney, but now he's transitioning into a compliance lawyer and helping consult with businesses to make sure they comply with the law as we finally get closer and closer to ending cannabis prohibition.
Yeah, and this is something, for years and years when I was working for Normal, one of the conspiracy theory things out there was Normal doesn't want it legalized because they make all this money off the dime bag possession charges. I'm like, are you kidding? When marijuana is legalized, do you know how much lawyer work there is? Are you kidding me? Regulation means laws means lawyers, man. All right. Hey, we got to take a break and we'll pay some bills. And when we come back, we'll get more here with Anthony Johnson. We've talked about the medical side. We're going to put that hat, take that hat off, put on the legalization hat. We'll talk to the head of New Approach Oregon and what's going on with legalization here for 2014. We'll be back. Stick around.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belleville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after a word from these 420 friendly sponsors. Wait a minute. This is internet radio. There are no dials here.
Radio, the activist radio station.
Hey, Ellen, want a hit? Want to smoke a joint before trying this on?
There you go, Ellen. You want to get high? We got some great high stick in the back.
Smoke. Kind buds. Sexy.
You're gonna love this stuff. It'll get you really high.
You want to legalize it? Call your congressman today. 202-224-3121. It's free, it's easy, and you don't even have to give your name. Just your zip code, and they'll hook you up to your congressman. Call 202-224-3121 and tell Congress you support marijuana legalization.
That's right, folks. Get involved. Activism starts with ACT. Anytime someone tells you that voting doesn't matter, I show them a medical marijuana card. See? Look what you can do when you vote. Welcome back to the Russ Belville Show. Our guest today is Anthony Johnson. We spoke to him in the first segment as head of the Oregon Cannabis Industries Association. Now, he switched hats, metaphorically speaking. We're speaking to the head of the New Approach Oregon, which is proposing marijuana legalization for the state of Oregon. And we've covered it many times on the show, so... How's it going, Anthony?
It's going good, Russ. Thanks for having me. New Approach Oregon's legalization initiative is awaiting a ballot title before we can start gathering signatures. So that's kind of the the bummer kind of stall tactic we're having to
They were challenging
overcome.
Something?
Hey, challenge a ballot title. If you read the challenge, it's, excuse me, it's a... pretty frivolous. It's obvious that somebody's just trying to stall our work by stalling it. You know, they're kind of increasing the money it'll cost to gather signatures. Mm-hmm. But I have gotten word that, you know, we have the pledges to gather the signatures, so I'm still pretty confident we can get on the ballot in 2014, and I'm confident we have the measure that can win.
Fantastic. And now, this is independent of what's going on in the legislature with Senator Floyd Prezansky. Can you give us an update on that?
Correct. Senate Bill 1556 in the legislature passed out of the House Judiciary Committee on a 3-2 party line vote, 3 Democrats against 2 Republicans. It is now in the Rules Committee. No hearing scheduled in the Rules Committee. With New Approach, we've been hopeful to have the legislature take the lead on this issue. Voters want the legislature to take the lead on the issue. It's very encouraging the legislature and more legislators are taking this issue more and more seriously and are favoring legalization. Last legislative session, House Bill 3371 was the first full legalization measure to get introduced in the Oregon legislature, and then the first one to pass out of a committee. And now we've managed to do it two legislative sessions in a row. So I think that shows progress across our state. Unfortunately, the word that I've gotten is that the Republicans in the Senate are now lockstep against referring this bill, and Democrats just have a 16-14 edge in the Senate. They have a bigger margin in the House. So if we could get it out of the Senate, there's a really good chance we get it out of the House and get it on the ballot for people to vote upon. But unfortunately, all the Republicans are lockstep against it, and there are two, I don't necessarily call them anti-marijuana Democrats, but I'll call them anti-marijuana Democrats. There are two Democrats who voted against the legalization of medical marijuana facilities. Mm. So there probably are not the votes to get it out
by one.
This session. Yeah, by one or two this session, unfortunately. There was one Republican who was a yes, but then the rest of Republicans kind of beat him down enough to go lockstep with them. I have been in discussions with Floyd Przanski and a couple of prosecutors, former Multnomah County prosecutors, Norm Frank and Mark McDonald, who mm-hmm. have signaled that they're hopeful for a legalization referral, but they have some stipulations and mm-hmm. conditions to get their support, which started off with no home cultivation and a per se DUI.
Of course.
And a few other things. And then no enactment until after the rules and regulations are spelled out. For instance, in Przanski's bill, as it's written, if the voters passed it in November of 2014, on January 1st, it'd be legal to possess an ounce away from home, possess 6 ounces at home, and grow 3 plants. And at first, they did not want to have any marijuana legal until all the rules and regulations mm-hmm. were dealt with by the legislature. Through negotiations with the prosecutor, we've got them to budge a little bit. They're okay with 2 plants and 4 ounces. It no longer has to be a per se DUI. It now can be a rebuttable presumption DUI standard, which is better. And they're okay with an ounce being legal on January 1st, but they don't want the home cultivation to take effect until the rules and regulations are spelled out through the legislature. If there weren't pledges for a signature drive to get a measure on the ballot, personally, I would be a little bit more open with compromising mm-hmm. with prosecutors. But with the pledges that we have, and I'm still confident about 2014, want to go full ahead with 2014. But if the worst came to worst and we didn't make the ballot in 2014 and we had to put it on the ballot in 2016, just where we're at with funding and our support, I would rather go with a strong industry advocacy approach than compromise too much with prosecutors Good. And law enforcement.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that, because I'd gotten questions about I-502 and its rollout, which has just been hideous in many respects. And would you support it now if you knew then? I was like, well, of course, because the context is different. We're at 48% in the polls. No state's ever legalized, but now 2 states have legalized. I mean, We got such great reports coming out of Colorado as far as the revenue they're making and the lack of problems they're having. I would think, I would hope that would have some impact on those legislators in Oregon, but apparently not. They're not even greedy enough to want to go for the tax revenue.
Legislators and incumbent legislators by and large are very conservative in their political behavior. Even the liberals are conservative. And you look across the country, incumbents win over 90% of the time. And the only way you get defeated is if you do something kind of stupid or really controversial.
You smoke crack or something.
Yeah. If you're in Toronto, you can get reelected, but maybe not elsewhere. So marijuana is still seen as controversial. This is an election year. They have primaries coming up in a couple of months. You have every law enforcement agency, except at this point, the state police haven't shown up to campaign against us. But other than that, all the law enforcement agencies. So it's still seen as controversial. I think if we had a full session to work on these legislators and it wasn't an election year, I think a few more would see the light. Mm-hmm. But they're just a little worried. And having a kind of a reasonable initiative is kind of a double-edged sword. On one hand, we put a little pressure on some legislators who don't want the activists to take charge and think that it's the purview of the legislature. But then there are other legislators like, oh, we'll just let the initiative play out, and
yeah,
we don't have to take the heat, and we can just kind of deal with it after the fact. So,
all right, so the initiative then looks like what might be the most viable avenue at this point. What are the details of it? What would we have? When would it go into effect? And so forth.
Mm-hmm. So it would be voted on this November. And in July, it would be legal to grow 4 plants per household, possess 8 ounces, and travel with an ounce away from your home.
So we'd vote on it, but it wouldn't take effect until like 7 months later, yeah, 8 months later?
Yeah, a few months later.
Woo.
And then the rules and regulations from the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, who would need to regulate it substantially similar to how they do beer and wine, not like the liquor monopoly, like beer and wine. And it's the same, categories of background checks, except for we included that they could not use old marijuana convictions
that's the dumbest outlets. Restriction
I mean, of course, it's like, you know, if somebody's good at growing marijuana, that's the people that should be getting the license to grow marijuana.
Yeah.
Of course. And we have I think it's a great measure for the industry to work and for the communities to have faith that the Oregon Liquor Control Commission is going to do spot checks just like they do at grocery stores and liquor stores and bars to make sure people underage aren't buying marijuana. But at the same time, we have just a $1,000 fee to get a license to be a producer, processor, or retailer. And marijuana is taxed at $35 an ounce, so just, you know, under $1.10 a gram, and that's taxed at the first sale. And if you grow it, you don't sell it, you don't get taxed on it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only one level of taxation, and you can vertically integrate, so you can be your own grower, processor, and retailer to keep the cost down if you want, or you can find your niche and just find your segment that you want to be participating in.
So if I grew and then sold it to a processor, it's $35 an ounce. But the processor then, in selling it to the dispensary, wouldn't be taxed?
That's the only tax.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, and we wanted to keep the tax as low as possible, but high enough to generate revenue for the state,
mm-hmm,
and fund the infrastructure for the regulation and enforcement. Our internal economic analysis shows that it'll generate $100 million a year for the state. And I think what Colorado is generating is kind of showing that that kind of money is possible. And Oregon not having a sales tax makes it hard to tax marijuana. If we had a sales tax, that would probably all we do. We throw an extra sales tax on the, mm-hmm, end. But without a sales tax, and the sales tax being very unpopular,
yeah,
in Oregon, we didn't want to have anything that looked like a sales tax, because all of a sudden our opponents are campaigning against a sales tax and how this is just a start, and they're going to start with marijuana, but then it's your medicine and your food and, mm-hmm, on and on and on that. So we consulted with tax experts, and we thought we found the best model for Oregon at this time.
All right. Well, we've been speaking here with Anthony Johnson from New Approach Oregon. And what's the website?
NewApproachOregon.com.
Okay. If you can stay for just a brief segment at the next hour, I wanted to ask you about the plant limits and other concerns I've read from the community. But at this point, we're just about out of time in this hour. And remind folks again about the event this weekend.
Yeah, so our event is at Occidental Brewing Company at 6635 North Baltimore. Tickets are almost sold out. Check us out at orcannabisindustry.org to snag one of those last few tickets.
All right. Like I said, that's all the time we got for today's show. Want to thank Anthony Johnson for joining us in this extended interview, which will be replayed coming up in 3 hours. So 6 p.m. or 6:30 p.m. Pacific time, 9:30 p.m. Pacific time as well. We'll also have it archived on Radical Rust channel on YouTube. But that's all the time we got for this first hour. Stay tuned for hour two. We'll briefly ask Anthony about the grow limits in the New Approach Oregon, as well as some other questions. And we got more. We got Kevin Sabet getting owned on national TV. And what else did I have in here today? Well, you just have to tune in to find out. Thanks for joining us. For Brian the Red, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
All right, ignore what I said about 9:30. Herb Show is on at 8 p.m. Pacific. We have 9:30 replays all the rest of the week. So catch the next replay at 6:30 or you'll miss it. See ya.